Welcome to Trinity Sermons. Today is Palm Sunday, and we are going to be hearing from Rob about Jesus' last words, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," as we continue our Lenten series, Famous Last Words, the last words spoken by Jesus on the cross. We hope you enjoy the sermon, and God bless.
Reading is from Luke chapter 23, verses 44 to 49. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness the sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. This is the word of the Lord.
I want you to imagine this scene. Maybe it's one that you've actually live through yourself. There's a four-year-old girl, let's say, and she's standing there on the pool deck, and she's preparing to make this jump into the water. And she's got her swimsuit on, and she's got water wings on and goggles, and her toes are like going right up to the very edge. And in the water is this guy, presumably her father, and he's saying things to her like, "You can do it, sweetie. Come on, jump, just do it. You can do it." And you can see that she's like hesitating. She's thinking about it. Maybe she's going to do it. Maybe she's not going to do it. Will she jump? Won't she jump? This just kind of goes on for hours, it feels like. It's not really hours, but what seems to be happening is there is this processing going on in her mind. She's thinking about some questions, some very important questions in her mind before she makes this decision as to whether she is in fact going to jump. And the first question she's asking is this: does this guy care enough? Does he care enough? I mean, he says he'll catch me, and he looks like he wants to catch me. He looks like he cares, but does he really care? I mean, maybe it's all just a big trick, and what's going to happen is when I jump, he's actually going to scoot out of the way, and I'm going to fall flat on my face and make a big splash, and everybody is going to laugh at me. But if I am going to actually jump into his arms, I need to know he loves me. I need to know he really cares about me, and that he's not trying to trick me. So that's the first question she's going to ask. Does he care enough? But then there's this other question that's going through her mind as she considers making this jump, is not just does he care enough, but is he strong enough? Because let's presume that he actually does care enough. He has her best interests in mind. Does he have the muscles? Does he have the reflexes to be able to actually catch her when she jumps in? Because, you know, good intentions are one thing. That's great. But actually, can he make the catch? Can he guide her safely into the water? Or is he going to, like, miss her? Or is she going to slip right through his fingers? She needs to know. She needs to know. Does he have what it takes? Even though he may want to catch me, can he actually do it? Is he strong enough? And then there's actually just this third question. And so, you know, first of all, if she determines that he doesn't care enough, don't jump, right? And if she determines that he's not strong enough, again, you do not make that jump. But if she determines he cares enough, and if she determines that he's actually strong enough, well, then the question comes back onto her. Now, am I brave enough? Do I have what it takes to make this jump? Now it's up to her. It's her decision at this point. She has to decide whether she is going to commit to making this jump or not. So again, the question is, will she jump or won't she jump? Well, today we find Jesus like this little girl standing right at the precipice, about to make a leap into the unknown. It's the biggest jump of his entire life. And you know, it's actually not like the little girl's jump at all, because nobody has ever made a jump like this before. The fate of the world depends on Jesus making this leap from life into death, right? He is making a jump into literally a pit of darkness, a pit of hell. Your life depends on him making this jump. My life depends on him making this jump. The universe hangs in the balance. Will he jump? Can he jump? Can he make this leap into the unknown? Well, Jesus has got an additional problem, and that is that he has to make this jump with all the sorrows and all the sins and all the loneliness of humankind stacked and piled on his back as he makes this jump. It's an actually unbelievable jump. It's an incredible jump to expect anybody to do. So will he do it or won't he do it? For the last several weeks, we've been looking at the final words that Jesus spoke as he hung on the cross, as he hung there dying. And so far, we've heard Jesus forgive his enemies. We've heard Jesus try to take care of his mother. We've heard him promise paradise to a dying thief. And we've now come to the point, last week we heard him ask for a drink. You remember that? But now we come to Jesus' very last words. These are his very, very last words. And we know these are his last words because as we read in the scriptures this morning, we read that after he speaks these words, he breathed his last. And in those last words, you know what you can see? You can see Jesus at this point. He has moved right to the very edge. He has worked his way through all those other words, and now he is right at the brink. He is right at the precipice. He is leaning forward. He is looking into the void, and he can hear the Father say, "Jump, Jesus, jump. You can do it. I'll catch you." And then at that moment, that's when we hear these famous final last words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." A couple of interesting things just to note about those words. The first thing is that this is a prayer. You know, Jesus has prayed a few times while he's been on the cross. He said, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And now, once again, as he prepares to take this final leap, his very last words, it's just important for us to know, he's praying again. His last words are a prayer. The second thing to know about these words is that these last words are also scripture. Jesus didn't make up these words on the spot. Jesus actually had a mind and a heart that was so steeped in scripture that when this moment came, there was just a scripture that flooded to his thoughts. And that was this scripture taken from Psalm 31. And in that psalm, what we read is this: "You free me from the net laid out for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You've redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." It's just, again, interesting to know that Jesus' final words are not just a prayer, but they're also words of scripture. The scriptures were such a part of who he was. Thirdly, though, these final words are also surely a memory for Jesus, lodged deep in his mind. You see, commentators tell us that these words, this psalm, was actually a prayer that mothers would teach their Jewish children to pray before they went to bed every night. Just like you might have taught your kid, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take." It's actually pretty kind of scary prayer to pray before bed. But actually, this was the same thing. When Mary would have tucked Jesus into bed each night, she would have said, okay, Jesus, let's pray the prayer. Let's pray together now. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And so Jesus dies reciting very familiar words, words that he's known from childhood and maybe recited each and every day. But Jesus was human. And we can't forget that. He was human, like you and me. And so I think, like you, And like me, and like that little girl, he also was wondering in that moment, those big questions that we all wonder, whether we're about to take a leap in life or the leap into death, does God care enough to catch me? Is God strong enough to hold me? And am I brave enough to make this leap? I mean, who doesn't wonder these things? And the truth is, one day we are all going to stand on the edge of death. I mean, it might be that for you, you're in a hospital room. It might be that you're in a hospice. It might be that it happens in some unexpected place. And we too will have a feeling of fear and uncertainty. And we too will wonder what comes next. And we too may hear the voice of God saying, jump, I'm ready, I can catch you. And in that moment, I think we, like the little girl and like Jesus, surely we will ponder, does God care enough to catch me? Is God strong enough to hold me? And then, am I brave enough to take this leap? I'm not sure how you'll feel in that moment. I'm not sure how you'll answer those questions. But what we do know today is we know how Jesus answered those questions. Let's start with that very first question. Does he care enough? Does God care enough? Before we give ourselves into the hands of God, we all have to ask that question. Is God actually a caring God? Does God actually love me, care for me, and have my best interests at heart? Does he want to catch me? And as if in answer to that question, Jesus uses one of the most caring and intimate words that a person can use to talk about God. In his final words, Jesus calls God Father, Father. He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Earlier on, Jesus was crying out, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? But now, when it comes down to it, to the very end, his language changes. Now, it's the caring, intimate word, Father, Father. A child jumping into a pool, they will never jump into the pool if it's a stranger standing there saying, hey, little girl, jump, I'll catch you, just go ahead and jump. As if they'll never make that jump. They can't be trusted. They don't know who that person is. But a father, that's different. That they'll make the jump if it's their father, because they know their father loves them. They know their father cares about them. And Jesus now was making this jump, not into the hands of a stranger, but this was his father, the father who he had trusted his whole life long, so that now when it comes down to it, to the very end, to the most important challenge of his life, he knew he could trust him again. Does he care enough? Yes, he cares enough. This is my father. This isn't a stranger. This isn't just anyone. This is my father. It's very interesting to note that actually the very first recorded words we have of Jesus saying anything in the Bible come when he was, again, just a child, just a boy on a pool deck. He gets lost in the temple, and when his parents finally find Jesus, you know what he says? He said, didn't you know I must be in my father's house? It's just interesting, the very first recorded words of Jesus, we see him already referring so intimately to God as his father. How fitting, therefore, that his last words, again, he's speaking of God as father. Father, 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 into your hands I commit my spirit. In fact, on the night before, when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was distressed. He was overwhelmed. He was alone. He knew he was being pushed right to the edge of the deck. He knew this jump was coming. And so he prayed. He prayed, Abba, Father, he said, everything's possible with you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. In other words, Abba, I don't really want to make this jump, but because it's you, Father, because it's you, Abba, ready to catch me, I will do it. It's interesting. Abba is an even more intimate word than Father. If you go to Jerusalem today and the school bell rings and kids run out of their class and run into the hands of their fathers, what they'll be saying is, Abba, 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 right? And they're not referring to this Swedish rock band, right? What they're saying, it's a dear, dear word for Father. Joachim Jeremias, who's a German theologian, said that Abba is the children's word. It's a children's word used in everyday talk. So does he care enough? Does he care enough to catch me? I'm sure Jesus had fears and doubts, but when it comes down to it, Jesus remembers, this is my Father. He cares. This is Abba. He loves me. Even today when children are frightened, sometimes all they want is their father. And as Jesus prepared for that final leap, he called out to his Abba, Father, Father, because it's you, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Now, I realize that for many of us, that is not the image that we have of God at all. When we picture God, you picture God as a judge, or you picture God as a boss, or you might even just picture God as a stranger. You don't know much about this God. You don't know who this God is at all. And actually, for some of us, this whole language of Father is entirely unhelpful anyways, because maybe in your own experience, you had a fairly miserable relationship with your Father. I don't know. I understand. But look at this picture. When Jesus came to the brink, when he came to the edge, when he came to that final decision, the person he saw ready to catch him was not a stranger, was not a boss or a judge. It was his Father. And because it was his Father, and because he knew that his Father loved him, he was able to say, okay, into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. And maybe just knowing that that's what Jesus did can help you, can help all of us rethink who God is and how God is like a good Father. But that was actually only the first question. That is only the first question. Does he care enough? As Jesus is making this decision to jump, he also, I'm surely wondered, is he strong enough? You know, when our kids were little, and let's say they were jumping into a pool, and I'm sure this happened, they would say, Daddy, can you catch me? And I would be, yeah, go for it. Woo, catch. You know, I would say, of course I can catch you. Look at these muscles. They're enormous, right? Or look at these arms. Look at my wingspan. This body was made to catch little children. Go ahead, jump away. I will catch you. Absolutely no problem. And they probably looked at me and said, yeah, it's true. I mean, there's no way he's going to miss. And so boom, boom, boom. Now, if today my daughters were to stand on a pool deck at 13, 15, 17, and 20 years old, and if Sophia were to say, Daddy, can you catch me? I'd say, well, just hold on. Just hold on one second here. I know, you know, these muscles, they're just not as big as they used to be. They used to be enormous. I'm telling you, they were... And you're not as small as you used to be, so actually, let's just think this through. Hold on. I'm not convinced, even in myself, that I could actually catch you if you were to jump into the pool. So as Jesus prepares for this world-changing, life-altering jump into death, he knew God cared enough to catch him, but was God strong enough to hold him? After all, Jesus was carrying an incredible amount of weight as he jumped into death that day. Peter writes that Jesus personally carried our sins in his body on the cross. That's a lot of weight. Is God strong enough to carry all of that weight? Or Isaiah said earlier, he said, the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. That is a lot of weight for a person to carry. That's a lot of weight for God to catch. Is he strong enough? Many of us ask this question, right? I've got burdens. I've got problems. Can I give myself to God? If I give myself to God, can he even support me? Is God strong enough, or will he just let me fall flat and I'll look like a complete idiot for trusting God in the first place? But in Jesus' final words, he reminds us, and he reminds himself, I think, no. God is strong enough. He says, Father, he says, into your hands. This is an interesting phrase. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, hands. You might say, does God have hands? I don't know if you guys know what an anthropomorphism is. Anthropomorphism, at least in theological terms, that's when we give human characteristics to God. So if someone were to say, oh, God smiled on me. Well, does God have lips? Does God actually smile? Like, no, human beings have lips. Humans have faces and smile. We're just kind of attributing that to God. And so what we see here is actually Jesus doing the very same thing. Jesus says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Wait, does God have hands? No, humans have hands. But when the Bible uses the phrase about God's hands to talk about God, it's actually for a very specific purpose. It's in order to get across just how strong God is, right? So for example, the psalmist says, in his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made the sea, and his hands have formed the dry land. Wait, God has hands? No, God doesn't have hands. The point is that God is strong. God is mighty. He can carve out craters with his hands. He can shape up mountains with his hands. I've got very big hands, but God's hands are huge. He's powerful. That's the point. Or later on in Deuteronomy, Moses talks about how the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Again, wait, God has hands? No, don't get confused. He's talking about God's hands. What he means is it's a symbol of God's power. It's a symbol of God's victory. And even Jesus later on will talk about God's hands. He says, you know, my Father has given all these sheep to me, and he's greater than all. And no person can steal a single sheep out of my Father's hands because he's got strong hands. There's no letting go. He'll never miss. Nobody slips through his fingers. So is God strong enough? Is God strong enough to catch you? Is God strong enough to catch Jesus? The answer, Jesus tells us, is yes, absolutely. Into those hands. Those hands? Yes. Into those hands, Father, I commit my spirit. Because I know those hands. Those are hands of power. Those are hands of victory, of safety, hands of security. I commit my spirit into those hands. Nothing is too heavy for God's arms. You know, nothing is too heavy for God's hands. Nothing can break free from God's grip. Yet many of us walk around every day and we're carrying these heavy burdens. The weight of our sins, the weight of our sorrows, all of our expectations, our longings, our hurts, whatever. And these things weigh on us. They weigh on our hearts, on our minds. They weigh on our spirits. But we walk around and we say, you know, only I can carry these problems. I'm the only one who can lift this burden. But that's not true. That's not true. God is strong. Give your burdens to God, the psalmist says, and he will take care of you. He will not let you slip or fall. He can bear the weight of your problems. He can bear the weight of your whole life. And when life is over, even then, God is there. He cares for you enough to catch you. And he's strong enough to hold you. Now that brings us to the third and the final question, right? The little girl steps to the edge and says, is my dad strong enough? Yes. Does my dad care enough? Yes. Is my dad strong enough? Yes. So now the decision is, am I brave enough to commit and make the jump? And Jesus, the same thing happens. He finds himself in this moment. Does God care enough? Yes, he's my father. Is God strong enough? Yes, he has mighty, mighty hands. He is strength and might. But is Jesus brave enough now to make this jump? Making the jump always comes down to an act of bravery on our part, right? You have to commit. In fact, Jesus says, into your hands, I commit. I commit my spirit. You see, I cannot make a leap into a pool. You can't make a leap into the pool without leaving behind the deck, right? And that is scary. You have to leave all the solid ground behind. And you cannot embrace death without committing, without letting go of your life. And that is really, really scary. And actually, that's what makes Jesus one of the bravest human beings I think that ever lived. He was an expert of just committing everything, right? Letting everything go, leaping into the unknown. He let go of heaven and committed to an earthly existence. He let go of divinity and committed to a human existence. He let go of riches and committed to a life of poverty. And he taught people, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you let it go, and if you give it up for my sake, then you will actually save it. So commit to God and let everything else go. Let go of your anger. Let go of your resentment. Let go of your past. Let go of your pride. Let go of your fear. Committing to God always means you're going to have to leave something behind. And maybe for you today, if you were to say, I'm going to commit to God or I'm going to commit to following Jesus, it would mean leaving behind what? Maybe a relationship. Maybe it would mean leaving behind a job or leaving behind some kind of an addiction or a habit or a grudge or leaving behind your ego or leaving behind some money or leaving behind your reputation. Jesus spent his life teaching people to commit. And committing means leaving things behind as you take that leap into God's kingdom. I mean, most of us prefer the pool deck. We prefer something solid and safe and predictable and secure. We like having safe and predictable lives, but at some point we all hear the voice of God calling us, saying, jump, trust me, let me show you a whole different way to live. You can let go of all that. You can leave that life behind. I'm strong enough. I'm good enough. Jump into my arms. I would dare say that there are some who are here today even, and you have been thinking about taking a leap of faith in some way, right? You've been wanting to say yes to that voice of God in your head, that voice that is calling you. And like that little girl, though, you're hesitating, you're not sure, you're humming, you're hung. You want to step into the life that God has for you, but at the same time, you haven't been able to commit. You know what I say today? Be brave. Commit. Take the leap and give your life to God. But listen, in these famous last words, Jesus isn't just trying to teach us how to live, he's also trying to teach us how to die. Because one day, maybe it's tomorrow, or maybe it's next year, or maybe it's 50 years from now, you will jump off this little pool deck called life. And who knows how it'll happen? Maybe it'll come with a crash. Maybe it'll come with a diagnosis. Maybe it'll come with a medical emergency or maybe a slow sickness, a lingering stroke. But one day, like Jesus, you will take your last breath and your arms will go slack. And then what happens? Then what happens? Well, some people believe that nothing happens, right? Your neurons will stop firing. Your heart will stop beating, and the 6 trillion atoms that make up your body will just go and find other places to be in the whole universe. When those people look at death, they actually see absolutely nothing. There's nothing. But that is not what Jesus saw when he stared into the face of death. Jesus looked into the face of death, and he saw a God who cared enough to catch him. And a God who was strong enough to hold him. A God who he could commit to and a God he could trust. And here's the good news. We have an advantage that Jesus never had. You know, on the cross that day, Jesus had to make that leap and he had to do it all alone. But in our death, we are not alone. Because Jesus has gone before us, it means Jesus will also go with us. In fact, Jesus once said, listen, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. He says, I'm going to take this leap, and then I'm going to come back, and I will take you to where I am, so that where I am, there you can be also. He knows the way through the valley of the shadow of death. He's been there. He knows what it's like to make the jump. And when our time comes, he'll jump with us, and he'll journey with us. Yeah, it is really hard to be brave in the face of death. Many people dread the very thought of dying, but Jesus' famous last words are not words of despair. They are words of hope. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Knowing that God cares enough, he is our Father. And knowing that God is strong enough, just look at those hands, means we, like Jesus, we can commit ourselves to him fully, both during our earthly life and ultimately in our death as well. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope that you found the sermon one that you will carry with you this Holy Week. Today's sermon was taken from the March 24th, 2024 service at Trinity Church, Streetsville in Mississauga, Ontario. Thank you.